This is an MUT Radio podcast.
This is MUT Cruise, the show that gives you nothing short of the very best top tier quality content. Ladies and gentlemen, sesingenilege ehlelweni lethu lanamhlanje from 10 o'clock. Size soze sayivala masesibone ukuthi na professor wethu oseqedile ukukhuluma nathi ngalesi sikhathi. So today, guys, we are privileged to be joined by the intellectual Professor Molebatsi Milton Nkwane to give us just a glimpse of what to expect this coming Thursday, the 26th of May 2022. Professor, good morning and welcome to MUT Radio.
Good morning, Mr. Mabazo, and good morning to your audience.
Thank you so much for gracing us. Professor Milton Molebatsi Nkwane is the research devotee in the Faculty of Education Department of Curriculum Studies and Higher Education. He is currently the departmental head at the University of Free State, the former deputy dean for research and internalization at a University of Zululand. He has an experience that ranged for 25 years in higher education. Working for the following universities. That is Vista University, University of Durban Westville, University of KwaZulu-Natal, University of Zululand, University of the Free State. His work is located within the discourses of social justice and critical emancipatory paradigm, advocating inclusion and engaged in resolving problems of poverty, subjugation, and marginalization, and as these impede on optimal learning. So his research fields include the higher education studies, curriculum restructuring and development in higher education, challenges facing the African dot and African universities in the 21st century. He has successfully promoted or co-promoted and supervised and co-supervised copious graduate student 29, masters and 25 PhD students to completion. Ladies and gentlemen, Professor Milton Nkwane, sesimbingelelile la kwisho. Thank you for gracing us, Professor Namhlanje. We are discussing the public lecture that will be held on the 26th of May 2022. Africanization of the curriculum in South African universities. Please enunciate further. What is the meaning of this? Can you please kindly unpack the concept of Africanization of the curriculum?
Okay, thanks, Mr. Mabazo. Just to give, you know, your audience, you know, just a snapshot of, if we talk about Africanization of the curriculum, there are many authors who write about that. Others, they call it decoloniality. Others, they call it Afro-sensed curriculum. Others, they call it decolonization. Basically, when we talk about Africanization of the curriculum, it's about just preparing Africans to be the makers of their own history instead of being just a sole recipient of the knowledge systems. Africanization is about the restoration, it's about the revival in the post-apartheid, post-colonial era. It's about us as African people rising from the decay, you know, bringing that kind of prominence, bringing hope, you know, bringing and then valorizing what we call the Renaissance. And then trying to resuscitate, bring renewal, and then also revitalization of who we are as people. So if we talk about Africanization of the curriculum, it's about just troubling what we call it the dominance discourses. When we talk about the dominance discourses, what are we talking about? In the field of knowledge, we find that knowledge is divided into two continents. We have what we call the global north, and then we have what we call the global south. So you find that the global north is dominating when it comes to issues of knowledge. So when we talk about Africanization, is that call where we're trying to neutralize and also dismantle that hegemony when it comes to issues of knowledge production. It's about also bringing ourselves to the path. Is also about, you know, trying to strike the balance between the pyramids of ways of knowing. And Africanization is about, you know, pushing that African ways of knowing to the edge, just to respond to our current needs as African people. And then as much as we do that, we also advance what we call an emancipatory agenda against this domination that has been in the field of knowledge for many years. And it's about the confrontation. It's about challenging claims about who are the sole custodians of knowledge. We don't have a sole custodian of knowledge. Knowledge is constructed by our own experiences. Knowledge is constructed by our own livelihood. So every form and a variant of knowing has its root. It originates and then moves from the local, from the rural, to the global. So when we talk about Africanization, that's what we are amplifying. We are amplifying to say, yes, us as Africans, we also contribute, and we have been contributing for many years in ways of knowing.
Education, Prof, was seen as the vehicle through which the Western cultures can be fostered or promoted in African continent by its colonizers. So this arrangement alone is viewed as Africans having a little or no knowledge of their own, which meant they had to learn advanced, organized, systematic, and sophisticated skills. So, Prof, some people may argue that there is no enough African literature to support this change. What is your opinion on that?
That discourse is of, you know, us as African people not having enough African agenda. I mean, the literature.
Yeah.
I don't think is an argument or a discourse that can hold water. Because there is so much that us as Africans we have contributed, and very sophisticated ways when it comes to knowledge construction. We produce tons and tons of manuscripts every year, every month, that contributes to the body of knowledge. We do that through different intellectual pieces that we produce, through dissertations and theses and many other artifacts that we produce. So when we produce these intellectual pieces, we strive to make that our own audience, our own readership, they feel connected when we talk about the Africanization. The readership and the audience should feel connected to their own stories by contextualizing the stories that we share. We have many and abundant of, you know, scientific names for our own food, medicinal plants, you know. And if we look back, African University predates many universities that existed. We have so many universities that existed pre-colonization. For example, I can just think of the Timbuktu. I can also, you know, mention the Al-Azhar in Cairo, the great University of Alexandria in the north, you know, Sahel. These are all universities that were there. So when we talk about sophistication and level of, you know, sophistication, we have produced many. Even the word, you know, alpha and what is this, the Greek word alpha and beta, which later was, you know, coined to an alphabet. We had many sophisticated words before that, which is the scholar. And then there are many other, you know, we can cite many other examples, you know, just to demonstrate, to say we have been very complex in terms of how we contribute to the knowledge. How do we explain the mammoth pyramids that are witnessed in Africa? You know, the great Zimbabwean remains of Tulamela. How do we explain the Mapungubwe in Limpopo and in Mpumalanga? You know, we've been there when it comes to issues of ethnomathematics, you know, the mathematical patterns that are embedded in the mural in the Bele homes in Mpumalanga, the ethnobotany, ethnochemistry. There are so many that we can demonstrate. So there is no way that you can say we don't have enough literature. The literature is there, and every Yes, I said earlier, when we produce different intellectual pieces, we are contributing to the theorization in terms of who we are as Africans. So there is no way that anybody can claim to say we don't have enough literature to support what we are doing.
Professor, someone will ask, Guti, what is the way forward? Is there any institution in Africa that has adopted and implemented this concept well, or is it perhaps making a strides towards Africanizing their curriculum?
Maybe before we respond about, you know, strides that we have made, maybe we should just demonstrate to say many universities have, you know, demonstrated, and then they are also amplifying the issues around decolonization. You go to every corner, people are talking about decolonization of education. Like I indicated earlier, to say if they don't talk about decolonization, they are talking about Afrocentric. And this has even, you know, crossed the borders of our countries. Even in other, across the globe, people are amplifying that. They are calling for Africanization, where we need to retell our story, because our story has been told by other people. So, yes, many institutions in South Africa and then also across Africa, even abroad, people are beginning to rewrite and then also amplify our knowledge system as to who we are as people.
As far as indigenous languages are concerned, Professor, does Africanization of the curriculum mean that the higher education institutions should use indigenous languages as the medium of instruction in future?
Maybe to respond on that one of the indigenous languages as a medium of instruction, we also need to remind ourselves that even the English language was born out of colonization. English to be there, it was because of colonization. When the British were colonized by the three German tribes, which is the Angles, the Saxons, and the Jutes, who colonized Britain in the 5th century. And then all their language, the British Celtic language known as Brittonic, the Welsh, you know, the Cornish, the Scottish, you know, they were swallowed by colonization.
Yes.
So the issue here, the point that I'm trying to make is that African languages are very crucial as we want to move towards, you know, Africanization of our curriculum, because our language reflects as to who we are as African people. I don't see the reason as to doubt, you know, the level of sophistication of our language. I think our languages are sophisticated enough. And over and above that, you know, a point that one can also make is when we talk about language, we don't necessarily mean just, you know, literary translation of ways of knowing to the African languages. It's not about the translation. Africanization is about the demonstrating that Africans are also capable of constructing knowledge through their own languages. This should not be misconstrued with just literally translating Shakespeare's work into isiZulu or any of our African languages, but just demonstrating that our languages are also up to the level of sophistication with any other languages. I mean, we have demonstrated in many ways to say we can, you know, do the mathematical manipulations that are embedded in our indigenous games on our mural art form. platforms that shows sophistication in terms of geometric patterns out of traditional courts that we preside over very sophisticated civil cases, our traditional medicinal blends that have cured many ailments for centuries. So the point that I'm making is it's not the language per se. It's about how we know how to do things. So the rest then will come. Because even if we conduct and then collate the data, we meet with the people who speak isiZulu, we meet with the people who speak Venda, Tswana, and then these people, they will tell us as to how they do things and then how they make sense out of what they are doing. So that is knowledge. And then it's, the point that I'm making finally is it's not necessarily about, you know, translating or changing or rewriting the mathematical books in isiZulu, but just demonstrating to say us as Africans, we are able to construct knowledge as equal as our counterpart.
Amazing, amazing. The African education sector, Professor, continues to face serious challenges of low and inequitable access to education, irrelevant curriculum, and poor learning outcomes. So inadequate education financing, weak education system captivity or capacity, and the weak link with the world of work. Where did we go wrong? What can be done to remedy this situation? Because the statistics of unemployed graduates are soaring day by day.
That's why we call for this Africanization. To say we need to be very relevant in terms of our context as African people. We need to check and recheck and then also check and revisit our curriculum, just to check whether is our curriculum responsive to our own needs, or are we just teaching what is in the history books just to tell his story instead of telling our story? Are we preparing students to understand Maslow hierarchy of needs instead of understanding our situational context? So if we begin to understand our context and then prepare our curriculum so that it becomes very responsive to our needs, then rather than just copying what comes from the global north and then think then we'll be responding to our challenges. Yes, it is true. Your initial question, you were asking about challenges. We see challenges in terms of students experiencing problems in accessing education, and many of these challenges, issues of finance, because of, you know, the history where we come from as African people. So our institutions, as much as our government, needs to be very responsive in terms of what is that is really that we can put as a matter of priority in responding to the challenges that we're faced with as African people.
Amazing, amazing. We are having a conversation with Professor Molebatsi Nkwane from the University of Free State, just giving us a glimpse or a synopsis of what to expect on the 26th of May 2022, as MUT will be celebrating Africa Month. There will be a public lecture, Africanization of the Curriculum in Universities or South African Universities. Professor, as I said before, there is the weak link between educational sector and the world of work. The statistic of unemployed graduates are soaring day by day. So someone will ask, COVID-19 happened shortly after we were trying to adapt to the fourth industrial revolution, the Internet of Things. So what is your take on the education system of South Africa? How do we ensure that our education provide students with appropriate skills, equipping them for the world of work?
Yes, like I said, we need to revisit as to what is that we're preparing our students for.
Yeah.
And then if you talk about the world of work, Is our curriculum relevant to the world of work? Is our curriculum going to make our people or our candidates or our students to become employees? Or will these students, after completing, will they be in the position to create and then become the creators of jobs? So those are the things that we really need to trouble and then ask questions on, to say, what is that that we're preparing our students for? Right. Are we relevant to the status quo? Or do we want to be absorbed by what we call this globalization and this international companies?
Yeah.
So those are the things that we need to ask ourselves very difficult questions as Africans, to say what is that that needs to be done. And then over and above that, also we need to also to bring a mind change or a paradigm change, yeah, in the government sector. I mean, people are scared to raise these discourses, but we really need to forge. And then people should raise, you know, and bring this kind of agency into our government to say, is the government responding to what our people need? So those are some of the things that we need to ask ourselves and ask ourselves very seriously.
Thank you so much, Professor. You know, I have learned a lot. Indeed, there are inequalities and exclusion. Masikhuluma nge education, or the education system of inina I Africa. So we need to work on that. Professor, someone will say that in Africa, we are happy about the curriculum, or we are happy with the curriculum as it is, njengoba sikhuba nje. So why do you feel the need for the curriculum to change?
Perhaps we should go back to the drawing board and begin to paint a picture as to why is there a need for the call for curriculum change in the African soil. Do we really need, or we really need to remind ourselves that, you know, there was a damage done. Damage was done through imperialism. Damage was done through colonialism. And then, to be specific, in South Africa, this colonialism was crystallized in apartheid. And all these forms of domination perpetuated, you know, or was informed by the contest. When colonization was planted in our soil, it was about contest. People were competing over ways of knowing, over mind, and also the intellect. So a call for change is influenced by this kind of dominance, or what we call hegemonic discourses, that seems to perpetuate that dominion over other ways of knowing. Maybe we should tweak that question and then ask the following questions as to, is there a knowledge system that is superior over other ways of knowing? That's the question that we should ask. If we are going to take templates from the global north, and then we think those templates will feed us as Africans, we should begin to ask ourselves questions. Another question that we can ask ourselves as Africans is African a foundation that we could stand on?
Yeah.
It is another question that we should ask ourselves. And then another level of question, maybe we as Africans, we should ask, has really Africa comes completely shattered herself in the context of ways of knowing, in terms of how we produce knowledge, in terms of how our knowledge systems become responsive to our needs? So these are some of the things that we need to ask ourselves. Because as I indicated earlier, to say these forms or the variants that were put to dominate us as people, it was basically based on the contest and competition of intellect, and then we need to challenge that. And then maybe the last point that I should make on that point is, if we're able to respond to these fundamental, what I see as fundamental questions, then we'll see the need for gauging us as Africans within the agenda or the what we call the global space or global arena in terms of knowledge construction and knowledge production. To say, are we competitive enough? Is our voices very clear? Can our voices also be valorized and be amplified within the arena of ways of knowing?
Amazing. Professor Moleba Zingwane from the University of Free State, right here on the MUT Radio. Professor, thank you so much for gracing our beloved MUT Radio, and thank you so much for giving us your time. We know for sure that you are a busy person and you are preparing to feed us on the 26th of May. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Mabuza, and thanks to the audience for this space. I really appreciate that.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.